We certainly are indebted to this congregation. As was said, they had us a hand in our support while in school, and it wasn't a little hand. It was a great help. It was a great help. And I know with all the large number of people here that were praying for us, we know that it was because of your efforts that God truly blessed us and we were able to make it through those years of school. So we will always be in debt to this congregation. Want to thank HD and the eldership here for the invitation to be able to come and speak to God's people on this lectureship. What a wonderful lectureship it has been, with a great theme, the wonderful Christ, because Christ is wonderful. Christ is certainly wonderful. You have your copy of God's Word, and I hope, trust, and pray that you do. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. We are certainly excited when we receive those letters in the mail from those children. That is always a highlight of this meeting, the children encouraging us in such a way. It is certainly something that we look forward to and that we will certainly never forget. So we thank each and every child who took the time out and their teachers. The Bible plainly states here, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." The wonderful Christ and his call to evangelism. The call to evangelize is to both the individual and the church alike. It is upon each individual member of the church that they engage in some form of evangelism. What it is, we cannot say, but you must be busy about spreading the word of God. If you do not engage yourself upon in evangelism, then God's message will sit dormant and no one will get it. No one will be able to receive the gospel. You see, the song said the gospel is for all, and we must all feel this way. We must all believe it with every fiber and every ounce of our being that the gospel is for all. I reject the notion that we can find time to talk to people about everything but Christ and his gospel. If you can find time to talk about those sorry San Antonio Spurs, then you can find time to talk about the gospel. If you can take time to talk about college and high school football, then you can have time to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, every minute, 260 babies are born into this world. 15,600 every hour. 374,400 every day. You see, in every minute, there are 100 people that die, 600 people every hour, and 144,000 people per day. That is just mind-boggling when we think about it. You see, our job becomes the much more important when we think about the numbers of people that are entering into this world and the number of people that are leaving out of this world. There should be not one person that ever leaves out of this world without having heard the gospel. You see, the Bible tells us about 12 men that turned the world upside down, preaching and teaching the gospel. Your job specifically here is the area of Portland. Portland, Texas. Everyone ought to have heard the gospel or had a chance to hear the gospel. Our job is an incredible one. We must go wide and we must go far to preach the gospel. I certainly have respect for Cliff and Dolly Martin. Cliff is a tireless worker in Jamaica. He goes forward and he spreads the gospel. Cliff will tell you if he meets you that you're coming over to help him in that job too. And I have a great deal of respect for that. You see, he understands that there are lost souls in Jamaica that need to hear the gospel. There are people that are dying in Jamaica that have yet to hear the gospel. And if we don't get them the gospel, who is? You see, the fact that there are false teachers, the fact that there are different religious bodies, there are denominations that have no right whatsoever to exist, makes our job even the more important and the more challenging. We must accomplish our mission. We must spread the gospel to every human being, whether they be far or whether they be near, whether they be kinfolks or whether they just simply be friends or strangers. Our job is to give them the gospel. Point number one, how can we accomplish this call of Jesus Christ to evangelize this world? We need to live and show. And I realize in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, I realize that the context he's speaking to the women about winning their husband by being an example. But that certainly has some application on us today. We need to be an example to this lost and dying world so that they will see the gospel in our actions. You see, I reject the fact that anybody ever has to open their mouth to tell anybody that they're a Christian. No one should ever have to verbalize the fact that they are a Christian. Someone should know that you're a Christian by how you live, by your actions. You see, the fact is, they should have known, your neighbors should have known that they could expect you not to be home at this time every Sunday. They know, you see, because the church hasn't changed the time on which they meet. You see, sometimes we just fail to assemble. But when you're a Christian, you don't have to say anything. They see you leave every weekday at that certain time. On Wednesday, they know that you're not going to be there. And you know, if somebody's going around and they're selling newspapers house to house, and I've sold some things house to house before in my day, and you knock on that door and you get that knock and you talk to the neighbor, you know, one of the things they teach a good salesman is to ask about the neighbors. You know, that way you can find out the neighbor's name, so when you go knock on the door, you'll know the neighbor's name. You see, and when they knock on your neighbor's door, your neighbor ought to be and say, oh, don't waste your time going there. They're not home. Well, they're at church because it's Wednesday. They're not home this evening because it's Sunday evening or it's Sunday morning, or they've seen advertised that there's going to be a meeting at that church that they go to up the road, and we know that they're there. Would your neighbors be able to say that about you? If not, we have not been living and showing the gospel. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9 tells us to show forth the praises of him, of God. We ought to show by our actions the praises of God. God is to get the glory by how we live our lives. It's incumbent upon us. We cannot go around thinking that somebody else. You see, we preach the gospel every day in how we live. Now, the fact is, some people aren't going to be receptive of it because some of us aren't living our lives right before them, so they have no desire whatsoever to ever be a Christian. And they've already verbalized the fact to them. They like to stand proud and verbalize, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. And then they see you when those people are coming out of your house with a case of beer. Or they pass by your window and they look in the window because people are just naturally nosy. I've seen it. I tell my wife sometimes as we're driving, that has nothing to do with you. What are you looking over there? She's trying to see what the cops are doing over there. They have the authority. They're police officers. They have a badge on. There's no need to question their authority to pull somebody over. They show that badge just to show you they have the authority. Well, people are nosy. They look in your windows as they drive by, and then they see some show on TV that just shouldn't be on TV. And then you wonder why when we knock on their door, they reject the fact that they want to come and visit with us. Because we have not been living and showing the gospel. You must invite people to come and see. John chapter 1 verses 43 through 46. You see, Philip found it to Christ. Philip found a good thing, and then Philip invited those to come and see what he had found. You see, he had found something that was more precious than gold. And so Philip said, come and see for yourself what it is that I have found. Are we like that? Have we been inviting people to come and see? You see, those two points tie together. We live and show. And if we live and show, we don't even have to tell them to come and see because they're going to be interested and they're going to want to come and see because they want to know what's going on in your life. Everybody wants the newest and greatest thing. And the greatest and the best thing that they could ever do is to be saved. And if you lived a life that is worthy of being saved, then they're going to want to come and see what it is you have. So oftentimes we invite people when we get a brand new automobile to come out and see my automobile. Sit in it. Make yourself comfortable. Make yourself at home and see how nice it is. See how nice it is. But we need to invite people to come and see the gospel, to come and see how I live my life, and you emulate me as I emulate Christ. See, that's biblical. That's biblical, and we must be about doing these things. Not only that, but we need to realize that we cannot keep a good thing to ourselves. I think the story is told in 2 Kings or 1 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 6. You know, we got the divided kingdom here. Let's set up the story. You have the divided kingdom in 2 Kings chapter 6, and you have the north and the south, and the Samaritans are being held captive by the Syrians. And somebody made a point on this reference the other day. And they were being held captive, and there was a famine in the land. And things were being sold for outrageous price. Food was being sold for outrageous price. Well, in 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse number 1, Elijah makes the statement, "Hear you the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel." Now that in itself is incredible. That's like if I told you right now that when you leave out of this building, you're going to go down to the gas station and it's going to be 13 cents a gallon. This is what Elijah is saying here. It's going to be sold for a shekel, you see. And what happened is there's these four men sitting at the gate, and they didn't know whether how if they were going to live or not. And they said, "Well, if we sit here at the gate, we're certainly not going to live. If we go down to the Syrian camp, maybe they'll have mercy on us or and feed us, and maybe they won't kill us. But nonetheless, we must go down there." Well, to make a long story short, they go down there. And they found, because of a noise that God has made as if an army was marching, the Syrians had ran away. And they go down there, and they're joyful, and they're eating, and they're happy, and they're taking up the goods that the Syrian army has left. And the statement said, here's one says to the other, in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse number 9, they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." You see, he says, we do not well. There's been a blessing passed upon us, and we need to go and tell somebody. We don't need to sit on our hands at this point. God has blessed us, and if we don't go tell somebody, then we're just like these men here. We need to come to the conclusion we simply don't do well by doing that, folks. You see, the blessing, there had been a blessing, and food was made available to all, and even though they were enjoying it, he had concluded the fact that they were doing bad by not going forward and telling the others. So that's what they did. They went forward and told. So we need to go and tell the good news. You remember in Mark chapter 5 and verses 1 through 20 in context, the demonic man that was possessed of a legion of spirits. You remember Jesus healed him, and he wanted to follow Jesus around. And in verse number 19, Jesus says, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great of things the Lord has done for thee." You know, if God has done something good for you, you ought to be willing to tell your friends and your co-workers and the mailman and everyone that you come in contact that God has blessed me. We ought to be willing to do that. And that's what he told the demon man possessed with that legion to do. Go and tell thy friends. But look at verse 14. This is what I found interesting about verse 14. They went and told the bad things in verse 14, and they that had fed the swine fled and told it in the city and the country, that they went out to see what was done. You see, bad news, we are so eager to go and tell bad news and those bad things that spread. Oh, did you read about on the front page about this and that, these evil things that are, did you read about Enron? Did you read about this woman that was beating on her kids? And did you read about that? Can I hear some good news from somebody every once in a while? Have you read about Jesus Christ coming and dying for your sins? Do you know he died on the cross for you and for me? We ought to be willing to tell the good news. We will read and scour the newspaper so that we will have something to talk about at the water cooler at work. And if we can talk about those things that are written in such a negative connotation in a newspaper, can't we talk about the good that God has done? It's written on the pages of inspiration. Have not we picked up the Bible and read it? We ought to be willing to spread that good news of Jesus Christ, that good news of God, that the grace of God has appeared unto all men. We ought to be willing to go and tell somebody about that. It ought to fire us up. It ought to be like Jeremiah when he says that there was a fire down in his bones. I just can't contain myself sometimes. I get so excited. Do you know the opportunity that being placed before you? You have the Word of God. I thought about that yesterday when I sat and I heard Eric Owen's sermon, and he was talking about the things that God had done, how God had worked out his plans, and how in the Old Testament they just couldn't quite comprehend everything that God was working out. But then we have this type-anti-type relationship, and in the New Testament God sheds some light on it, and we say, oh, we see. And we ought to want everybody to see. We ought to want that light switch to flip on everybody. It ought to mean that we have patience with people and we give them a chance to understand the Word of God. But we must go and tell that good news. Then we must seek those who are lost. You see, you have to seek those who are lost. See, the Son of Man came, he said, to seek and save those that are lost. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10. And we are to follow that example that Jesus left for us. So we ought to be seeking and saving those which are lost. You see, it's not enough for us to just be sitting back thinking that they're going to come and find us. But we ought to be seeking. Means that you're actively doing something. I don't know what it is. Maybe you run an ad in the newspaper yourself. You can run an ad in the newspaper and says, anyone interested in a Bible study, call this number and put your home phone number down there, you know. Maybe you take out an ad in a magazine and saying that willing to study the Bible with anybody. Maybe you set up a 1-800 call at your house. I'm not going to tell you what it is that you need to do, but I am going to tell you this evening. You need to be doing something. You need to be seeking the lost. How can we sit back with the great news of the gospel and not be willing to seek those that need to hear the gospel? Think about the souls that are departing from this life, never having heard the good news of Jesus Christ. I bet you we don't even have to think far. We don't even have to think about our neighbors. Go into the corners of your mind with me this instant and think about your own family. Family members that have yet to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. What are we doing to try to seek them? Maybe it is that we purchase the tape from the teller. See, they're busy seeking and saving. They have their niche that they want to spread the gospel. But maybe we buy a set of those DVDs and we send them to that great aunt who has yet to obey the gospel. Maybe we send them off to that sister that's just hard-headed and fallen away from the church and needs to be restored. We need to be seeking and saving the lost, and our minds ought to be thinking of ways to reach them. I'm not telling you to come up with nothing new. That's the problem with the church right now. Too many congregations are trying to be so smart. We need a new and exciting way to worship. We need something new in here. And they act like they didn't read the Old Testament and saw nothing new under the sun. So quit thinking about something new. It may have a different name to it, a different spin on it, but there ain't nothing new, folks. We're dealing with this down my way. They want to clap and they want to do all this, and this is just praise. Like, this is a new way to praise and worship. What? Oh, it's not fun if we don't do it. What made it fun 40 years ago? They were worshiping and praising. Think. Think before you speak sometimes. You guys aren't thinking. We don't need some new and inventive style to praise God. God has told us how to praise Him in His Word. Want to spend the last of our time on motivations to evangelism. Motivations to evangelism. It's not enough to tell you that God requires you to evangelize in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. But I want to try to build you up in some sort of way and try to motivate you to get up off of these comfortable pews that the elders have provided for you and to get out to a lost and dying world. So many times we said, they've rejected me once. I've gone to them once. So what? They're not rejecting you. Quit taking everything so... Grow up. Quit being a baby and taking things so personally. If they reject, they're rejecting God. Shake the dust off your feet and go to the next one. Come back to them a little bit later. Put them on the list. I'm going to get back to you. I'll do it. You can slam the door in my face, but I'll be back. I'll see you again. I've had a dog sicked on me, but I'll see him again. I'll see you again. And if you don't sick the dog on me the second time, I've made some ground. The first time you sucked the dog on me. This time, you're willing to say, just get out. So we're making some ground. We're too sensitive. This is God's message. It's not a message about me. It's not a message about you. This is a message about the Savior, God Almighty. And it just came to my mind. Happy Mother's Day. By the way, mothers, I certainly apologize for that. I was thinking as we were talking, this is God's message of his son that came by the virgin, was born of a virgin, lived and died and is raised and seated at the right hand of God and makes intercession for us. But there's something that we must do in order for him to make that intercession for us. We need to let people know. Appreciation. A motivation for us to evangelize ought to be appreciation. Isaiah chapter 53 and verses 4 through 6. Isaiah chapter 53 and verses 4 through 6. Listen to the prophet Isaiah speaking to us here. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet did we esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all upon him. That ought to build up appreciation within us. I appreciate what God has done for me. I certainly appreciate it. He didn't have to. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This means that we were separated from God. We were enemies of God. But yet God sends his son, and knowing in advance that we are going to kill him, that we are going to misunderstand his message, and that some of us are going to reject him. But yet he did it anyway. He did it while we were sinners. Look here. I've heard of people saying that there's some low people on earth, that they've done this and they've done that, and they say that they did this and they've done that. They've killed 20 and 30 people, or they've done this. They're abusing children. Sin is sin. You can't get no lower than a sinner. That's the lowest point that you'll ever get on earth. If you are a sinner, you're as low as you will ever get, you see. We are trying to categorize things. I don't care if you killed 20 people and you starved one child. The same place has been prepared for you. Heaven will not be your home. And you are a sinner. So it doesn't get any lower than being a sinner. And so we were at the lowest point that we could ever be. Yet God sent his son Jesus to die for us. And if don't nobody else appreciate it, I do. I appreciate what God has done for me. I certainly do. 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 through 19 talks about the precious blood that Jesus shed for us, as with that lamb without blemish. Jesus had to give his life so that I would have an opportunity to be saved. His life was given so that I would be given the opportunity to be saved, you see. There's still something that I must do. I must accept the opportunity. You see, God gave a gift. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave. There's a gift. Now, I don't know about you, but you have a choice on whether or not you want to accept a gift. Quit thinking that just because God gave that it automatically is for everybody and everybody's saved. You have to accept the gift that God has given and upon his terms. And I appreciate the fact that God has given me a gift. And you know what? I've said, I accept your gift, God. I accept your gift. And God said, if you accept my gift, then it's going to be a life for a life. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, number 1. Present your lives over to God. Obligation. We ought to feel some obligation. If appreciation isn't enough for you, then we ought to be obligated to spread the gospel. Listen to Luke chapter 12, verse number 48. To whom much is given, much shall be required. I just said that he gave his son. How much more does he have to give? His son gave up heaven and all that it had to offer to come down here and die upon a cross for something that he didn't do, but for something that Stephen Patterson did, you see. And so the Bible teaches that to whom much is given, and you can't be given any more than this, much shall be required. There's an obligation seen in that statement. An obligation to live righteous before God Almighty. An obligation to accept the gift and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is seen. We are obligated to spread the gospel. Someone has once said, and correctly so, that ability plus opportunity equal responsibility. That is a very correct statement. Ability plus opportunity equals responsibility. Another motivation is simply the message itself. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, listen, it is the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, a just shall live by faith. So stop, if you've been notching your belt about people you've been baptizing, stop, because you ain't did nothing. You have not done anything. That's more correctly. It's the gospel that changes lives. The power is in the gospel. It's up to us. It's up to us to get that message out, however you want to do it. Like I said before, maybe you want to write a letter to your neighbor and leave it on every neighborhood door. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe you want to have a garage sale and pass out something as you have that garage sale. Look here. Maybe you want to tell people, hey, look here, if you sign up for a Bible study, a neighborhood Bible study, we'll feed you a free dinner once a week or something. I don't know how you're going to do it, but we have to do it. The message has to get out, because we can't change anybody's lives. We can try all that we want, but if we don't give them the gospel, then people's lives will not be changed. We need to affect this world. We need to make a change in this world. I have a surefire way how to bring every woman home from work. You go to every job out here and you convert the owners of everything. You see, then they'll start paying a fair day's wage for a fair day's work. And then the ladies won't have to go out to work to make ends meet. There's a surefire way. Teach them the gospel. If you're having some troubles on work, whoever you're having the trouble with, get them in a Bible study and teach them the gospels, and your troubles will be a little bit easier. They may not end, because there's going to have to be some growing there. But it will be just a little bit easier, because you will have made a brother out of an enemy. The power is in the gospel. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 talks about the message. They called it good tidings. This is a good message. It's good tidings. It's good tidings of great joy, as he says there in Luke. That was an angel saying that. You see, this message is something that's good for mankind. It's not something that's going to injure them or bad. It's something that has the power to change their lives for
forever.
Just think about that. Then when the family reunion is in heaven, they'll be able to look at you and say, thank God that he was willing to obey the Bible and bring me the message of God. If you don't, we sing a song all the time. If you know what's going to happen if you don't bring them the message, they'll stand up, and I know they will, because I know I would, and say, you never mentioned them to me. You met me day by day and knew I was astray, yet you never mentioned them to me. Don't think people won't say it. They're going to try anything and everything they can to make sure that the gates of heaven open for them. God, you can't let him in. He couldn't be a Christian. He knew I was astray and said nothing, God. Don't do it, God. You'll be making the biggest mistake you ever made. Don't let them in. You know they'll say it. You know they'll do it. So why not make life a little easier and go to them with the message of the gospel? Because of dedication, Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, that's dedication. It's no longer Stephen Patterson that lives. You know, there's some things that Stephen Patterson wouldn't be able to handle. Because it's no longer I'm living, but God is living in me. Through his word, I am now able to handle those things that I once would not be able to handle. I've been changed because of God, you see. Because of the dedication of God. He bought me with a price. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. He purchased me with his own blood. And because of that, I've been dedicated to him ever since. Ever since I accepted the message of the gospel, I've become dedicated to him. Because of instruction. Matthew 16, 15 and 16 instructs us to go out and teach. Go into all the world. Not just your neighborhood, but go into all the world however you do it. And I know you do an excellent job with that. I know you support missionaries. I know you support preaching students. You have countless students who are preaching and teaching the gospel and teaching other people to teach the gospel. And God knows it's because of the support that they received in preaching school. He can say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Acts chapter 8, verse 4 gives us an example of this. And they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. There's an example of it. It's an example in the Bible. The value of each soul, as we talked on earlier, realizing that each soul has a value. The swift approach of death ought to motivate us, knowing that how many people are passing? 144,000 per day in the U.S. alone. Every 13 seconds, there is a death. Every 13 seconds, there is a death. That's here just in the United States alone. Death swiftly approaches all. The future coming of Christ and his judgment ought to motivate us to preach and teach the gospel. Their understanding of the glories of heaven and the horror of hell ought to motivate us to go out and preach and teach the gospel. Folks, the bottom line is this. The message of the gospel is the most important message on the face of this earth. Obedience to it will deliver people from sin. One can live confident of heaven after responding to a message of the gospel. The gospel needs to be spread both at home and abroad, both far and both wide. The gospel needs to spread. Our families need to know it and hear it. Our co-workers need to hear it. Our friends need to hear it. The public servants of this world need to hear it. Your insurance man needs to hear it. Your postman needs to hear the gospel. The pilot of the plane that we put so much faith in needs to hear the gospel, your teammates that you go to war with in football, basketball, baseball, track and field, need to hear the gospel. Therefore, it is incumbent upon us as God's children to spread the message of the cross that has been entrusted to us, to go into all the world and to evangelize the world. That work needs to be done today. Finally, brethren, we close with this. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 19. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting their nets into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Folks, if you have not been fishers of men, you need to. You see, fishing calls for a lot of things, but most of all, it calls for commitment. And Don will deal with that in his next lesson. Thank you.